www.radiofreeplymouth.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
Hello, welcome back from the news. What's your perfect gift? It's a Christmas quiz and it's launched in the southeast as part of ongoing efforts to encourage people to shop local. We love a shop local. Mm. Developed by Myconnex, the quiz offers players the chance to win £100 town and city gift cards. So Tenterden would love this, wouldn't they, Terry? For their choice of the 70 local gift card programmes in the UK and Ireland, including the 6 programmes in southeast England, the Camberley gift card, the Canterbury gift card, the Chichester gift card, the Eastleigh gift card, the Isle of Wight gift card, and the Worthing gift card. You've got one, haven't you, Terry?
No, ours is a discount card.
Yeah. Well, just as good. So the Christmas quiz helps users figure out which present they would most like to receive for Christmas by answering 5 festive questions, including their favourite Christmas movie, not film. I prefer film. We're not American. Favourite holiday food. They mean Christmas food, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
And the present they asked Santa for as a child. So this has gone American. It's got my goat now. I'm not going to read it. But there
is,
we are.
Is that your Christmas food? Goat?
Yeah, it would be. I've got a very large turkey coming from Riverford.
Have you?
I panicked this morning, actually, because normally my delivery comes on a Thursday, every Thursday for 25 years. And I have a cut-off point to adjust it for when I get back after Business Bunker. I always just have a quick look up until 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. So this morning I thought, I'll just check my Christmas, you know, it's coming. And I went on there and I've got like the whole lot coming Thursday, I thought. And a turkey and all the veg and all the trimmings and lots of sprouts.
Brussels sprouts, double cream, and all the
red cabbage, Bramley apples, everything, and mince pies. So I went to check it and it wasn't on then. It said your next delivery is the 6th of Jan. And I went rather green and got butterflies and started to feel a mild sense of hysteria. And so I did a little help chat and I said, I can't find my Christmas delivery that's coming this week. And there's everything on there, like turkey and everything, stuffing, pigs in blankets. And she said, oh, it's because it's actually coming a day earlier this year because of Christmas. So it's coming tomorrow, mañana, and you've missed the deadline to adjust it. So I just hope that what I did 4 weeks
what you
ago
want. Is, yeah. Yes. You've only got 3.5 hundred weight of Brussels sprouts yeah. and you were kind of panicking you needed more.
Exactly, yeah. So we've got quite
Hold on. You're leaving it a bit late to put the Brussels on, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
Tomorrow, they should have been on a week
steaming,
ago.
Steaming, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we've only got a very small Christmas this year because my daughter's in Ireland with her boyfriend and family. Josh, Ibiza Fitness Food, is in skiing in France. Mm. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
So he's got this... Did I tell you? No, I didn't, because you weren't here.
But you did tell everybody else, and I was listening.
He's got a Swiss chalet, and now all the family that are coming from England to join him in this Swiss chalet can't go over because Boris said that they can't go... Oh, no, France said they can't out. That. So he's there. He's got a little slow cooker. You know, he likes to eat healthy. Mm. Took his slow cooker with him and his Vitamix whizzer. He's there on his own in the ski chalet.
That'll learn him.
Yeah. He's European now, you know.
Yeah, I know, you said. Yeah, he won't come home. Do you know what?
Talk to Tezza.
I think it's about time we talk to our guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show our motoring correspondent, Mr. Terry Thorpe of DG East Vehicle Supply and Services. Terry, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you back on. Jules was muttering last week on the show that she did about various car things. So I thought it could be an interesting thing to start talking about this. Obviously, with cars, there's There's a lot of controversy at the moment about which way we go with this.
I don't know what to do with hybrids and things.
With electric cars and all the rest of it. But Jules was talking about hybrids last week, so I wondered if we could start off just talking about where we are with hybrids. And also, I know, because you told me, you gave me a heads up on it, that the government have been messing about again with the subsidies for these things by cutting them.
Yes, they've decided to take away another £1,000 from the subsidy that was given to entice people to go down the electric or the hybrid route.
Mm.
They started off at a much higher level. We're now probably less than half what the original subsidies were. But obviously this is going to go on and on. As the Chancellor sees people moving to electric or hybrid, they will cut subsidies.
Yep.
You will find that the road fund tax that's been zero rated on certain vehicles will come back because he needs to earn some revenue. So the government is being very green until it comes to seeing what goes in the coffers. Then it will become driven by the money rather than the environment.
Okay. Leaving aside the issues of subsidies and taxability and all the rest of it, although that's something we may talk about in a moment in terms of business cars and benefits in kind and all that kind of nonsense, I just want to talk a little bit about hybrids. As you know, because you're going to source me a car or two in the new year, it's something I'm starting to think about myself, about changing my cars next year. And looking around the market at what's what. First and foremost, and I just want your view on this, I do what a lot of people do, I guess, is I just Google best saloon car 2021 or whatever and read all the reviews. And amazingly, almost all of them come out with Skodas somewhere near the top. Mm. If you've got any thoughts about Skodas, but they seem to be doing... I know Skoda's owned by Volkswagen these days.
I mean, Skoda has been improving year on year.
Yeah.
Since the 70s, when it was the comedian's butt.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you keep your hands warm, put the heated rear window on your Skoda when you're pushing it down the road? So they've come a long way. Obviously, the VW taking over means that they've got access to much better infrastructure, to much better parts supply.
Mm.
And obviously, Volkswagen share across all platforms. So Audi, VW, SEAT, Skoda, Lamborghini.
Right.
Which a lot of people
Porsche.
Know, Porsche as well. So VW really have got an enormous brand, but it means that your economies of scale when you're buying components is much better, and obviously your research and development costs are reduced because you're spreading it over a lot more product.
Yeah.
So Skoda, yes, extremely good. The pricing has increased with the quality, so they're not quite as price advantageous as they used to be.
Sure.
But they're still looking better than the Audi or the pure VW product.
Mm. And I've got a Mercedes estate at the moment that we use for taking horse bales and bales of hay about and stuff like that. So I was looking at estate cars, and it turns out that the Skoda Superb has the biggest boot on the market, which was interesting as well.
Boots are so important, aren't they? If you've got kids or a dog or, you know, whatever, or even going to the tip.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a Skoda Superb estate arriving tomorrow on a long-term evaluation, which has been booked quite a long time ago. So I will pop along, Paul, when I have it, and just let you have a look and a seat.
Yeah, that would be good.
But, I mean, the Superb estate is extremely good. They come, obviously, in a range of engines. You can have the petrol, you can have the diesel, you can have the hybrid.
Right.
Though at the moment... pricing probably means you wouldn't want to jump into the hybrid unless you're suffering congestion charge and low emission charge, as some of my customers in London are.
Yeah, sure. If we may, can we move on and just talk about, in general, hybrid cars? Because it was something that Jules was mentioning last week, and she was particularly interested in those class of hybrid cars that are called rechargers.
There's a Honda one I've been looking at, Honda in Canterbury. There's a lovely guy called Daniel Smith phoned me, his sales there, and he said that it recharges itself, which I thought was great because you haven't got all the plug-in stuff. He said some people like them, some people don't, so I wanted to know the reasons.
Well, in my view, that is the only hybrid to consider.
Oh, good.
Lexus started importing hybrids into this country probably 15, 18 years ago, and they were all rechargeable. Mm. There's no need for leads. You won't have somebody come along and pull your lead out because he thinks it's a bit of fun. Mm. You won't need to find a charging socket if you go to a hotel or if you go and visit family. All those things give you extra problems.
Yep.
If you have a recharging hybrid, it gives you petrol engine when it needs it. Mm. It gives you electric when you're in town. Mm. The only downside at the moment is that the government have started to hit those type of hybrids with worse benefit in kind charges.
Why do they when they want us to do these things?
Because they want money. Mm. You know, we're back to the same thing. Yeah. Government talk one direction, act totally different direction.
Yep. Mm.
So pure hybrids can be either petrol or diesel, and then they self-charge.
Yeah. Mm.
The other type of hybrid is a plug-in, which is a half and half.
Yeah.
It's half a hybrid, and it's half an electric. So you've got the aggro of finding a charging point, the problem of connecting it in the pouring rain or the snow or the ice.
Yeah.
Then you jump in it in the morning because you're in a hurry to catch the train, and you drive off and the lead's following you down the road. Yeah. There's so many problems that you don't need, so just go pure hybrid, sorts the problem out. Start playing about with plug-ins, then you might as well look at going fully electric and having all the restraints of, I can only do 10 miles today because I've got to charge it up to go somewhere tomorrow.
Yeah.
Electric is not ready yet,
and
the electric infrastructure in this country is going to fall over if everybody buys an electric car and tries to plug it in and charge it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just so frustrating listening to politicians who, on a range of subjects, just do not look at the consequences of their actions. They go, right, we'll all do this. Like, we'll throw out gas boilers and replace them with what? Something that doesn't work. Great. It's not going to happen. And it's exactly the same with electric vehicles, isn't it? They go, let's go electric. And you go, but you don't have the infrastructure for it.
Mm.
Okay. I was looking, you mentioned this Honda. I was looking at a Volvo hybrid, which is a rechargeable hybrid. Blooming expensive.
They are
77, I think, the XC90 that I supplied to a customer. But if you're going to have a large vehicle like that, you're going to be up against ML, you're going to be against X5. So they're all going to be 50, 60 to start with.
Yeah.
Put a hybrid engine in and you're going to add quite a lot more.
Mm.
And this is the problem that my customers are giving me at the moment. They're saying, I want to renew my vehicle. What's the cheapest option? And as business users doing 20, 30,000 miles a year, that's a real concern. And if you start quoting them petrol and diesel and then say, well, it's £150 a month more per vehicle, if you want to be a hybrid green driver, I'm not selling many hybrids to that type of customer.
Right.
I've got some who are really green and are going electric.
Yep.
But because the company policy is, we need to be able to advertise that we are a green company, and they're paying a premium to be able to do that.
Right, okay. So let's just look at the market in vehicles at the moment. I'm assuming that in the pure electric market, cars like Tesla are still leading the way in terms of units.
I think they are selling the most. They've also got probably the best capacity in terms of miles that you can get out of one. Mm. Although some of the VW product now is getting a lot better if you pay for a more expensive battery.
Right.
So I've heard of 350, 400 miles on a recharge.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot better than the original 200s.
Yeah.
However, that's in an ideal world. So Southern California, 35 degree ambient temperature, not England, M25, fog, snow, sleet, and 10 mile an hour, and taking you 4 hours to do a 20 mile journey.
Mm.
Those things are not taken into account for people who go pure electric.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have this situation at the moment where the government are reducing their subsidies for electric vehicles. We have basically a choice of four different types of vehicle at the moment, leaving aside the new hydrogen approaches. So we have petrol, diesel, hybrid and full electric. From your point of view, Terry, in terms of overall new car purchases during 21 and coming into 22, are people still on massively buying petrol and diesel cars as opposed to the others?
It depends the type of user.
Right.
If you are a private individual and you're looking at buying a car for 7 to 10 years, then people are probably saying, hang on, we need to go hybrid or we need to go fully electric.
So then are they making themselves wait a bit longer to see if prices come down or things improve? Or
I don't think prices will come down. I think the decision at the moment, sensibly, is 2030 is cut off.
Yeah.
So my business users are saying, well, we're only going to lease a car for 3 years.
Yeah.
So we'll take a petrol or a diesel because it's the cheapest way of doing it, and then we'll review it. Possibly in 3 years' time, we may have hydrogen in the market.
Yeah.
We may have battery capacity that'll do 600 miles on one charge.
Yeah.
It may only take 2 hours to do a full charge. You know, we all remember when the first mobile phones came,
yeah,
they were like a suitcase.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're now to a stage where batteries are so much better, charging is much quicker,
mm-hmm,
but the real conversation is, where are we getting the materials to make these batteries?
Mm-hmm.
Are there little boys who are 9 and 10 years old picking up dangerous rocks with,
yeah,
you know, metals in, and we'll all have cancer by the time they're teenagers?
Yeah.
But the electric division don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And there's a shortage of lithium and cobalt in the world anyway in terms of natural resources, so you're absolutely right. And, of course, the other point about all of this is, at the moment, renewable energy generation provides almost less than 5% of everything we use. So unless you're going to go back, and I just noticed yesterday that the Russians turned off their gas supply to Europe.
Yeah.
Which means...
Ukraine, isn't it?
Due to them trying to invade Ukraine, yeah, and the EU not liking it, they turned off the Nord Stream gas lines to Germany, which means the Germans have got to go back to coal.
We've just sold our nuclear stations to Qatar, haven't we? Qataris. The Qatar royal family have just,
yeah,
invested in they're calling them mini nuclear stations.
SMRs, though.
Yeah. So, and I find that a bit frightening, to be honest.
Yeah. It's not entirely that bad. Small modular reactors, which is the new...
Yeah, these mini ones or whatever.
Which is the new mini ones. In fact, the reactors themselves are built by Rolls-Royce.
Yeah, but the Qataris are going to be in charge of them,
yeah,
and own them.
They own the sites, yeah. Mm. But the technology is owned by Rolls Royce. Yeah.
And who owns Rolls Royce now? Is it
Germans?
Used to be England, didn't it?
No, hold on. Let's not get confused here. No, Rolls Royce cars are owned by BMW, but Rolls Royce Aero Engines, who make the nuclear thing, are a separate British company.
Are they British still?
Yeah, based in Derby. Yeah. They also make, anyway, I won't go down there because I can talk about that forever, the nuclear industry. Of course, the other thing about nuclear generation is if we get fusion to work, and somebody said to me the other day, ha, 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 it's going to be 50 years before that. But in actual fact, we opened a fusion reactor in Nottingham 2 months ago. It's not feeding the commercial grid yet, but it is a tokamak reactor, which is interesting stuff. Anyway, but coming back, you know, the whole problem with electric vehicles, when we reach mass demand for electric vehicles, is where do you get the electricity to even charge them from? And that's leaving aside little practical things like if you live in a terrace house or a block of flats, how do you charge your car?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I've already seen pictures of people dangling cables across pavements that live in London to charge their electric vehicles.
And if you get a power cut, look at these storms we had up in Scotland, where they were without power for over 5, 6, 7 days, weren't they?
Yeah.
Some of them, I think, longer, 2 weeks.
10 and 11.
Yeah.
So not only would you have no power and be freezing at home, can't cook or anything, or heat yourself, you couldn't even get out if you're in a remote area to get any mince pies or a coffee or whatever.
Mm. I just coming back totally to cars and the range of different vehicles. being as we're a business show here. I mean, for me personally, many years ago, I used to operate a company car. And I stopped doing that when it just became ridiculous in terms of the benefit and kind costs of it. I just didn't see the, you know, it's okay if you want some crummy little car, you know, and I did. I had a little fleet of five Peugeot 107s because at the time they were the lowest carbon output and they only cost 5p to buy them anyway. But they were made of cardboard in any case. And the clutches only lasted 3 weeks at a time. But I had a load of them. If you wanted a really nice car, it cost you. So I've kind of avoided company cars. But is there still a big market in company cars?
It's shrinking now. Two or three reasons. Obviously, working from home has had a big impact. And people aren't doing 30,000 miles visiting clients because they're doing it all on Zoom. There are still some who obviously have to travel around, engineers probably more than the sales team. But that's obviously made a difference to the company car market. Certainly I've got several of my customers who have now decided that the company car is no longer going to be funded directly by the business. They're going to offer salary top-ups, and then it's to the choice of the employee whether they run around in a Mini or whether they run around in a van or a pickup or a second-hand Trabant. They're just getting some money to do it. But if they don't get to work because the car breaks down, then obviously they're going to be pulled over the coals.
I'll tell you a story. It was a long time ago, this. It was over 30 years ago. But I worked for an organisation that made the same choice back then. Back then, we all had company cars, and most of us bought BMW 3 Series. That was the big thing to buy when we were all kids, and we go, whoa, I've got a BMW. And the company came along, and they said, right, we're fed up. Keep buying cars and do the rest of it. We're going to give you a car allowance, yeah? So you can go out and buy a car yourself, yeah? But it, but the company will maintain it and pay the insurance and da-da-da-da-da. One lad, when and we were given $5,000, which was about the cost then of a 318 BMW. We were given $5,000 each. One lad went and bought a Lamborghini that had been wrecked in a crash for $5,000, and then put it in the garage and said, can you repair that and send the bill to the bank? Because they paid the maintenance.
Very true.
And the bank went bananas, and they went, right, we're stopping that. We're going back to supplying the cars.
We were chatting about Hondas, weren't we, in the car park?
So what Honda did you look at?
Well, the CRV.
The
4x4. So at the moment I've got a sport one, which is so old. It's an ex-rental. We've had it for years, and it's our dog car.
200,000 miles.
It's 220,000 miles. Yeah. We've never spent more than £800 on it.
And that was for a new cat that got stuck.
Yeah, exactly. And we just did the MOT for it. It was £88.
Right.
Whereas my lovely Merc, I was just saying to Tezza as we walked in, soft top. So as I drive it, I get showered with raindrops through the soft top, and nobody can find out why. And I've had it all done and sprayed and whatever. So I need an umbrella inside my car sometimes. But the Hondas are great. So I was talking to Daniel Smith in Canterbury Honda, and I think I'd like another one. But my mechanic says they're still not as good as they used to be because of all the new updates on the computers and things, the chips and all that.
That is the case with all manufactured goods, I'm afraid. It's called...
Same with our washing machines.
Yeah. Improvement. But they're always looking to save costs. So the thing that was costing...
But not to the customer.
No, the customer pays more.
Yeah.
But the component that they were buying for £10 is now going to be bought for £7. And therefore, it will fall over quicker. It's not just the cars. It's, as you say, washing machines, TVs, video, everything. You've got to drive costs down to make a bigger margin. And at the moment, in this strange world where we have this big semiconductor problem, certain manufacturers are going to build factories to make their own semiconductors. Now, I'm a cynical so-and-so. The machines they need to make the semiconductors probably need semiconductors in them.
Yep.
So what's coming first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
And it's going to go on for a long time. I think the car industry is not going to be back to a full supply for at least 12 months. Mm. At the moment, if I ring up to try and find a vehicle, if I get told 3 months, I'm doing very well.
Wow. Mm.
A lot of other things are 6, 9. I was quoted 18 months for one vehicle, but that was a bit special. But, yeah, no, 3 months now is quite normal.
Right.
Across all manufacturers.
Right. I mean, so if we're thinking about getting a new car in the summer, we ought to be thinking about it now, really.
You need to be ordering it today
right.
to think you may get it in the summer. Right. I've got some that are going to be 10 months behind wow. delivery time.
Wow. Okay.
And I won't mention Jaguar Land Rover, but that's who it is.
Right.
Oh, I saw a Jaguar the other day. It's an absolutely beautiful car. And my neighbour has got a hybrid BMW, and that's really lovely. Totally silent when he drives off. Really, really silent. I wonder whether they're going to put sort of jingle bells and things on it, because I'm wondering about pedestrians if it's quiet.
The problem with the visually impaired, if they're standing on the side of the road, they normally would listen as there a car approaching.
Yeah.
Same with a guide dog situation. Mm. The dog probably is using its ears as much as its eyes.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
We need to have a bleeping system, like when the dust...
Oh, but not that awful bleep.
Well, it needs to...
It's got to be something lovely.
How about jingle bells as
you... Yeah, but not that bleep. That would be really... Because where we live, we've got the Herne Bay Road, and that has got really, really noisy because of all the building in Whitstable, and so everybody's coming off the Thanet Way and coming onto the side roads. And I was thinking about electric cars. It might be better, but it's the tyre noise, isn't it, that makes noise on road as well. Mm. So that won't be any different unless they put them in slippers or something, the tyres.
Well, they'll hover, won't they?
Yeah. But it's not so much the engine, is it? It's the tyres often that make noise. But if they have a bleep, that would be awful.
Yeah, well, you've got to have something that stands out.
Jingle bells, little sleigh bells.
How do you know isn't somebody doing carol singing, do you? They'll go, oh, there's carol singers over the road. I'll go and put some money in their box, and bam, they get ran over.
Unless you have those announcements that when they have vehicle reversing,
so they
could have vehicle going all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, lots of people have talked about, you know, having engine noises. So you can have a little, I don't know, a little Nissan, but you can have a Porsche 911 engine noise in it.
So what do you reckon then? What are we plumping for? Are we going to plump for a Honda or a Japanese car?
You can plump for whichever you wish.
As long as you've got 3 months to wait.
Oh, at least and 3 months. Yeah. I would... have a look round and make the decision now and get the bow ready for next Christmas. And if it comes earlier, it's a bonus.
Mm.
Cool. Terry, as always, thank you so much for that, for updating us on where we are with vehicles. It's a pleasure to see you. Have a fantastic Christmas, my friend. And we'll see you again in the new year, I'm sure, for some more talk about cars, vehicles, hydrogen, electric, petrol and diesel, leasing and buying. Just very quickly before we go as well, what's the second hand market like at the moment? Because it got a bit dicey for a little while, didn't it?
Still very scarce.
Yeah.
Because we haven't got the new being sold.
Yeah.
It's not bringing the part exchanges.
Mm.
A lot of the leasing companies are extending contracts because they can't get the new cars through to change. I mean, I've got some that are now running 12 months beyond their primary contract.
Really?
And the leasing companies are very happy because they've got another year's rent.
Yep.
And the vehicle will probably get more in the auction hall 12 months on from what it would have done last year. So they're having a double bubble.
Fantastic. Give us a shout for your website, sorry.
www.dgeast.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Do check that out. Do contact Terry if you've got any vehicle questions that you want to ask, or indeed if you want to order a new vehicle, or indeed a second-hand one.
It's kind of what you want, isn't it? You want someone that's going to advise you, because it's such a big purchase or rental.
Mm.
You want something that's reliable. Somebody I know in my road had a brand new, what they call Range Rover, and she appeared. She'd literally just picked it up, state-of-the-art one, and it just appeared on a lorry, you know, and it conked out the electrics or something. I don't know what it was. I don't even know if it was a hybrid. It was an Airbnb that was going there, not my real neighbour. And she'd only had it about 6 hours. I think it was her first drive. And she's taking it back. She's sending it back.
Pack it up and send it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Thank you so much for that. We've not got long left. I'm going to cover the FSB news shortly, but have you got anything you need to read, Joyce?
Well, yes. Amazon have launched a boot camp to help rural businesses grow. They're really trying, aren't they, you know, how good and kind they are.
Yeah.
They've launched a boot camp to help rural businesses grow their online presence. It's a free one-day boot camp, and it will see businesses benefit from sessions on how to get started on Amazon stores, fulfillment options, financial planning, sustainability, and how you can grow your rural business on social media. The Amazon Small Business Accelerator is a program designed to help people start, grow, or turbocharge their business, depending on their needs, with access to e-learning, boot camp, trainings to help people get trading online quickly, as well as events, tools, and services. You can go to www.enterprisenation.com/accelerator. Aren't they kind?
Yeah. You know, Amazon Web Services now power more than half of the entire internet.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Because it all goes Pete Tong when they go down.
Yeah. Going back to what Tessa was saying about cars, my son, the youngest, who lives in London, in Greenwich, and my daughter, who lives in Clapham, Terry, have both had cars, and they decided my daughter's battery was always flat because she didn't use it enough. Mm. So when she came to visit us in Kent...
This was an electric car, presumably?
No, normal.
Oh, normal one. Okay.
So Volkswagen. And so they've decided to they're sharing their car. So Shay is selling his, and they're going to keep one car between them. And then she's going to get a zip car or something if she needs it to get over to Greenwich. But they just weren't using their cars often enough in London, but they need them for the... country trips.
You need to watch that. Need to watch that.
Car sharing.
Yeah, yeah. My youngest son, Stu, right?
Yeah.
His car was parked. He lives in
Brixton.
So he doesn't take the car to London. He leaves it at his mum's house in Cranbrook. Yeah. And one day she said to him, "This is stupid. You've got a car hanging around here. Why don't you sell it and we'll buy a nicer car between us?"
Mm.
And we'll use, I can use, she had a Range Rover Evoque.
Mm.
Or an Aston Martin. I can't remember. Anyway, she had
something
one of those.
Nice.
Something
yeah.
like that. She said, you know, and we'll just have the two cars instead of three.
Yeah.
So Stu sold
sure
his
he'd
car.
Like an Aston Martin.
You know, Stu sold his car and put the money into, they bought a second-hand Merc. Mm. Yeah. And then he went home a few months ago and said, "Right, can I use the car?" And she went, "Oh, no, you can't, because I've sold my other car and it's the only one we've got now."
So he's now...
He did come over in it last night, but he's going, "Oh, it's not fair, you know."
He'll have to book it in advance.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a coach commuter service which has been operating from Kent and Medway, and it goes to London for nearly 40 years, and it's going to be axed.
Yeah, King's Ferry.
Awful.
Yeah.
Why?
They've got no passengers, that's why.
Well, at the moment... Christmas Eve, it's going to be axed. So it's the King's Ferry, and it's ceased the service used by thousands of passengers because of reduced demand created by COVID-19 lockdowns. In a message from National Express, Regional Managing Director Ian Fraser said, "This has been an incredibly difficult decision and has not been taken lightly. The ongoing challenges created by COVID have reduced demand to such an extent that means our services are not commercially viable and unlikely to become so in the very near future." So there we are. So what happens when they all want to get back in the office?
Well, you know, this is another unmodelled fallout from this whole thing, isn't it?
You know? It's amazing how the tentacles just... delve round into everything, don't they?
And it's pretty damned obvious to anybody that's worked outside of the academic circle. You know, it's like JP Morgan, the bank.
Mm.
They actually did modelling on COVID and came up with a completely different scenario to the Sage team because they're used to doing proper modelling.
Mm.
Yeah. The Sage team, academics don't do proper modelling. They do doomsday modelling.
It's
the same with climate.
Yeah.
They don't look at the whole... picture, you know, like, okay, we need to go green, but what does that mean?
Mm.
They only ever look at one half of the issue rather than what's the consequences of this, and is it more damaging to do something than not do something?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You know, and there's a whole range of scenarios that run from do nothing to shut everything down.
Mm. And yet my mum, who's 91, I've been driving her into her acupuncture in Canterbury because she said the buses were busy.
Yeah.
I suppose with Christmas shoppers and things. Mm. And she didn't want to sit on a crowded bus. She said lots of people weren't wearing masks and things.
But Maidstone, if you read it last week, Maidstone have shut their park and ride.
Have they?
Yeah.
Because of no demand?
Aviva said it just wasn't viable to run it any longer.
Well, my mum said that the windows weren't open the and they were all steamed up and people weren't wearing masks, so she was too scared to sit on it, the Whitstable to Canterbury buses. And that will probably calm down after Christmas, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, but as you said, the problem is at the moment, these things are being stopped because they're not viable.
Yeah.
What happens? When all this is over, they're not going to restart them, are they?
No, exactly. And what will they do with all the buses?
Oh, well, I'm sure.
What will they be turned into?
Oh, well, like selling to
pop-ups.
Selling to Indonesia or something.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Pop-up.
So what we used to do with our old Mercs is sell them as taxis to Indonesia. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had
And Cuba have got all the old American.
I had an E-Class Merc years and years and years ago, and I paid $15,000 for it secondhand, and it was a top of the range E-Class, and it had 30,000 miles on it when I bought it, and I had it for a couple of years, and I'd driven it up to 70,000 miles, and I went back to the Merc dealer and to part exchange it, and they offered me 17. I only paid 15 for it. I went, what? And he went, yeah, we clock them and send them to Indonesia. I went, you've just told me that. He said, no, it's perfectly legal in Indonesia at the time. You just wind the clock back and send them. And he said, they'll run them for years as taxis.
Yeah. Well, look, I was saying about Cuba, they've still got those beautiful 50s cars.
American cars, yeah. Well, that's because they've got no choice. Yeah, they can't get anything else.
Well, one of my friends had COVID, and she was not very ill with it. She's not vaccinated. And she said it was, you know, she was tired and had a cold thing. She's just gone off for Christmas to Zanzibar.
Lovely.
She's sending me all these amazing pictures in Zanzibar. I'm a bit jealous.
Is that still a place, Zanzibar?
Zanzibar.
I'm sure they've changed
Tanzania,
the name.
Isn't it?
It's Tanzania.
Yeah, was it Tanzania and now it's
no,
Zanzibar?
No, it's Tanzania now. It used to be Zanzibar in the First World War, but it's been Tanzania
Zanzibar,
since about 1919.
Zanzibar is a lot more exotic sounding, isn't it?
Is it?
And famous for spices, of course.
I talking about that, Tanzania is a socialist republic.
Yeah.
And I had a young student at the University of Kent that I was mentoring.
Yeah.
And he had a license to bake bread in Tanzania. Mm. Yeah. And he was asking me about how to do the business and all the rest of it. And I was saying, well, you know, you've got to look at what the costs are and what the market is. And he went, oh, the market's the whole country. And I went, and he went, no, you don't understand. In Tanzania, there's only one license, and I've got the license to make bread.
My goodness.
It. There isn't anyone else that can make it.
Wow.
And I went, do you want a partner?
Is he back there now?
As far as I know,
I'll tell my friend to look him out.
Yeah,
go on.
Right. We're going to hear these messages and then the FSB news.
Unannounced.
Our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Okay, it's that time. We're going to do the FSB uninterrupted news.
Yeah, let's. I won't.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
As always in the news roundup, I'm going to give you a number of webinars and things that are happening. And at the end of it, I'm going to give you a link for all of them where you can go and find out more and book your tickets.
Will it be uninterrupted?
It's uninterrupted, except you just interrupted it. But that's interesting because the first one is just for you, Jules. It's how to eat yourself productive.
Oh, wow. I'd love that.
Tuesday, the 11th of January, 12:30 p.m. In this webinar, life and business coach Alice Dartnell will focus on the nutrition and health aspects of energy management. Alice will be joined by expert nutritionist Amani Carty to discuss the link between food, the brain and happiness, what to start, stop or continue doing to be more productive, how your health impacts your business and how your business impacts your health, and what to do going forward with simple, practical and actionable tips to achieve better results and feel better. Now, that's an interesting webinar, isn't it? There's also a business acceleration Ditch the Rearview Mirror on Wednesday the 12th of January at 11 a.m. If you want to start 2022 by looking forward, not back, to achieve your business goals, then this is the webinar is designed for you. It will give you the tools to be able to do that. Led by the team behind business consultants Tinderbox Limited, the session will show why businesses need to adapt to new environments to succeed. The Kent Business School has a free virtual business briefing on Friday the 14th of January. The Kent Business School and its summit partners, of which the FSB is one, will host a free virtual business briefing with key speakers outlining the regional economic landscape and strategy for growth. And then also on Friday the 14th of January at 12 p.m. to 2 p.m, the Southeast Minority Networking, that used to be the Bain Group, they've now renamed Southeast Minority Networking, taking place on Friday the 14th of January at noon. Overcoming Fear and Doubt in Business takes place on Thursday the 13th of January at 10 a.m. And Networking, Let's Talk Technical for Engineering, Manufacturing and Transport Sectors on Wednesday the 19th of January at 10 a.m. On Wednesday the 26th of January at 11 a.m. is the Transition to Net Zero with the Zero Carbon Business Portal. And then on Thursday the 27th of January, How to Secure and Manage PR for Your Business at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Coming back to the start of January, on Tuesday the 11th of January, 9:30 a.m, Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. Meet other business owners and expand your network at our Virtual Connect networking event. On Thursday the 13th of January at 8 a.m. is the Property and Construction event, Making Sure Your Project Runs Smoothly. This is hosted by Peter Searle, and it's a four-part property and construction series that is held on a bi-monthly basis. And the event's topic from Peter is Three Steps to Winning Tenders. All of those events can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. All of those are listed there. There's a link to find more details and to book your tickets. And all of them are free events for members. Firms across Kent and Medway can now apply for an interest-free loans of up to £500,000 to help the county's economic recovery. Kent County Council is offering a total of £8 million to help small and medium-sized firms develop new lines and services, invest in machinery and in premises, and to create more jobs. The Kent and Medway Business Fund will offer loans between £100,000 and £500,000. If you want to find out more about it, if you go to www.kent.gov.uk/businessloansandfunding. That's kent.gov.uk/businessloansandfunding. That is the FSB news for this week.
Lovely. And there's a new bid to build 4,000 homes to the south of Canterbury. It's been launched with developers pledging to create Britain's first net zero carbon community. They're clever, aren't they, really, these developers?
Yeah.
They know what to do to wheedle in their planning.
I got a letter saying they're starting work building the houses next to my house a week after January.
And you know what? They don't put a solar panel on any of these new builds.
Don't talk about solar panels.
Why?
My Jamie bought solar panels for his gaff in France.
And?
They blew up when they plugged them in.
No!
Yeah.
May we?
Blew the inverter.
Where were they from? Were they French ones?
Merlin, probably.
You want to talk to Bob Beattie? He's quite good on all that, isn't he?
May we?
May, yeah. That's awful. So what's he done? Return them to Merlin? Or?
I don't know. He wasn't talking for... He was not a happy bunny.
No, he's not. That's terrible. Is Merlin the big electrical thing?
No, Merlin are the B&Q equivalent in France.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apparently Christmas trees at B&Q are £1.99 or something, somebody told me this morning.
Yeah, we've only got 2 days left to flog them, haven't they? And they're useless, isn't it?
I'm not sure whether to get one with a greyhound, a new greyhound, because she is quite destructive. And, the other day I had a lovely couple of vases of lilies on this business show. I must tell you about my dog. Vase of lilies on the coffee table. When I look round, the lilies are on the floor and they're poisonous, But she hadn't eaten them, but she'd extracted collected them from the vase and thrown them on the floor because they weren't
very
tasty.
Perhaps she was thirsty. Did she drink the water in the vase?
Yeah, no, she helped herself to the cocktail cabinet. So I'm not sure about getting a tree. I still haven't got one. I've got little ones on my dining table. But
I've got a black plastic one you can borrow.
I know, you've had that for years. Yeah, I don't approve of black one. I've told you about that years ago. Mm. So I might just go and get one because if it's only $1.99, it doesn't matter if she... It's just the baubles, isn't it? Imagine the mess she'd make, Terry.
As long as she doesn't try and chew the baubles.
Exactly. And we can't put presents underneath either. No. But you know what she was doing the other day? She was lounging in her bed, which is by the TV glass shelf, and I could hear a crunch, 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 and I thought, oh, she's got a little chew, and I thought, oh, I better go and see what she's eating. And she'd taken glass marbles off her patience or solitaire game. She was eating a glass marble. Luckily, I heard her. But why do they do that?
She's hungry.
She's not hungry. She's stuffed to the gills. I've never fed a dog so much. She gets fillet of cod every morning with her biscuits. Now she won't eat her biscuits without fillet of cod. That's what my husband said. He said kedgeree, you know.
Perfect.
Anyway, so this is controversial Mountfield Park, and it was thrown into doubt in October when the City Council was forced to quash its own planning permission following a High Court legal challenge. But of course, Corinthian Land, the firm behind the development, has now returned with a fresh application for a Garden City scheme. They're doing this in Folkestone as well, apparently, which will swallow up more than 550 acres of farmland between Canterbury and Bridge.
I gave you that because I knew you'd love
you
it.
You do, and it's Christmas, and you shouldn't be giving me these stressful things to read, Paul Andrews. I'm going to rewrite my contract.
Are you?
Yes.
Right. An evening of silent cinema with live piano by Stephen Horne. Kent Creative are announcing their fourth silent cinema night. That's not easy to say, that, silent cinema night.
No, luckily you're teetotal.
Yeah. An unforgettable evening of early films with live piano, taking spectators back to an era when film soundtracks were orchestrated in front of the spectators by live musicians. Classic short films will be shown with live music accompaniment by Stephen Horne, one of the leading silent film accompanists, a resident pianist for the BFI and regular at the Cannes Film Festival. Although principally a pianist, he often incorporates other instruments into his performance, sometimes simultaneously. That would be a one-man band then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The films included in this programme are The High Sign with Buster Keaton, Le Rive de Marmiton with Segundo de Chaumont, How to Tell One, Charlie Bowers, Le Crin de Radage with Gaston Vell.
Mon singe dans son lard.
Mon singe est dans lard. My monkey's up a tree.
Yeah,
that one. And The Immigrant with Charlie Chaplin. After the film, Stephen Horne will take part in an after-show interview with Stephen Tyler of Creekside Vinyl in Faversham. So it sounds like a fantastic thing. It's taking place on Saturday the 22nd of January at 7 p.m. You can find out more by going to Stephen's website, which is stephenhorne.co.uk.
Lovely. I'm just doing a little tweet about that land thing. So ash dieback trees are going to be removed from Moat Park. That will start. There's about 270 dangerous ash dieback infected trees. Maidstone Borough Council will be removing them. Unfortunately, there's no cure for ash dieback, which is a fungal infection spread by airborne spores. Have to lock them all down, won't they?
Yeah.
It was first seen in the UK.
Can't they put masks on them?
And spray them or something.
They ought to wear masks.
If it's a fungal infection, then you can treat fungal, can't you? Spray it with eucalyptus oil or something. That's what you need to do.
Is that right?
Or veruca treatment or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fungus. You can get rid of fungus.
Yeah.
It was first seen in the UK in 2012, and it's estimated it will kill over 80%. You're giving me all these horrible things to read now, depressing things. It's going to cost the UK economy $15 billion.
What is?
It says here it's going to cost the UK economy $15 billion. I guess that's to cut the trees down.
You're joking.
Well, that's what it says.
That's ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
Can't we just send a tree fella over?
Yeah, yeah.
An arboriculturist. A tree fella.
Oh,
the crack. It's the crack. So there is a little link. Go to 3ws.woodlandtrust.org.uk. Trees, woods and wildlife, tree pests and diseases. It will, yes, it's going to cost the UK economy $15 billion. I don't understand.
What is going to cost us £15 billion? Cutting down trees.
The height of the trees also means that if they were to collapse, they could fall onto the A20 and the network rail track. The progression of the disease has been monitored for a number of years and action must now be taken. It's going to cost the UK economy £15 billion. That's bananas. Ring them up.
It's just...
Right, well, let's ask our Business Bunker listeners to ring them up, the Woodland Trust, and ask why it's going to cost us, the UK...
Taxpayer. £15 billion to cut down some trees in Moat Park.
Yeah.
FCA sponsored.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
They just need a tree fella.
How many?
Tree. Somebody's wishing us a prosperous Christmas. Oh, a great Christmas and a safe and prosperous 2022. I'm feeling ever so full up from all those. Trouble with Terry is he kept offering me the sausage rolls.
And the trouble with you is you kept eating them.
I don't say no. You know, when someone proffers it to you, you know,
you can't
good morrow,
turn
my kind wench.
You can't turn it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was rude, isn't it, to say no. Thank you for all the support and engagement with the Marsh Network during a difficult 2021, where we all had to change our way of doing things rather more than once. Relationships were built, businesses done, and friendships forged. Despite the fact that many of us have still to meet in person, we will continue with our hybrid approach in 2022 with a mix of online and face-to-face networks. So please go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
Cool. And do you know what?
I think it's the end of the show.
We're kind of at the end of the show.
I could tell because you were rustling things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I rushed
I'm packing up, getting ready.
Yeah, he's got his little...
ready. It's like when you're at school and you're waiting for the bell to go and you put everything in
your
desk.
Your pencils in your pencil case.
And you put all your pencils in your pencil case and you shut the desk lid. And
your rubber.
And the teacher goes, wait for it, we're not finished yet.
Yeah, and there's a little scrape of the chair as you all rush off. And then she makes you stay longer because you've scraped your chair and made a noise.
Oh, you had the same teacher as me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's two guests, Jane Marsley of Herschel Infrared and to Terry Thorpe of DG East. Thank you so much for your input to the show. Thanks to everybody for listening. We're going to have a break. We've decided that we've worked hard enough during the year with this and we're going to have a little break. So we're not back until the 11th of January.
That's not really a big break.
It's not a big break.
We used to sort of come back at about the 5th, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, I was always a bit hungover.
There was Tuesday the 4th and I thought, well, Jules will still have a hangover by then. So why don't we have a little break and we'll be back on the 11th of January.
It gives people time to catch up on all the podcasts that are on there.
Exactly. And there is a show on the Business Bunker Extra Show this Thursday at 1 o'clock when you can join me and the lovely Amanda Parvin of Ethical HR and Human-to-Human Recruitment. Amanda's talking about her work finding full-time, well-paid jobs for people with disabilities, both physical and mental disabilities. And she's done a huge amount of work around that. So it's a really fascinating interview. So do listen to that on the Business Bunker Extra Show on Thursday at 1 o'clock. But
we'd love to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year 2022.
A happy, healthy and successful New Year.
Yeah.
And just for Jules, I'm not going to play out with...
You're out thing.
With Fleetwood
Mac. What are you going to play out with? Jingle Bells.
The Business Bunker.
Something Christmassy.
With Paul Andrews.
Oh, that's lovely. Something whimsical. Could it be Bing? Someone on piano? Is it Michael Bublé?
No.
Have yourself
a merry little Christmas.
A merry little Christmas.
That's lovely. About time, Terry, isn't it? He got the Christmas songs out. He was a bit humbug.